want to turn to Luke 21. Praise the Lord. And Jesus speaking here in verse 29, he said, he spoke to them a parable. Behold, a fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know your own selves that summer is nigh. Now, nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, you know the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall stand, shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snarl shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And I pay particular attention to verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise God. I'd like to just have a thought. Her subject is, where do we go from here? Praise God. We know we can look back in the history, of the Bible and the prophecies, and come up to this point where Jesus was on earth teaching and talking, and that hundreds of years have went by, and we're here today. But we live in a unique time. Things are happening now that's never happened before. Things are changing more rapidly now than they've ever changed before. Natural things and even church things. Things that went on for hundreds or thousands of years, all of a sudden, change is taking place. In fact, this generation seems to not like old things. If it ain't new, they think it's something wrong with it. It's old. People don't want old houses and old cars. And they don't want old-time religions and old doctrines. And they want a new generation, church. Fashioned around baby boomers or something. And so things all rapidly change. In my lifetime, I've seen drastically changing in almost everything that you deal with. Praise the Lord. And the world is changing. Praise the Lord. And somehow we can see that there's trouble brewing. We can see the things going on in Iraq and in Israel and in Lebanon and other parts of the world. And it's interesting that that was a part of the world where the major religion sprung out from. We call the Holy Land of Palestine. That, when we talk about Iraq, that was old Babylon. And Iran was old Persia. And it's all there where the seemed like the Garden of Eden was there, where the Euphrates is. The Babylonian Empire headquarters was there. Abraham was called out right off of that same river. Between those two rivers, one of them is called the Euphrates. Between those two rivers, the other one is Tigris now, but when you look back in Genesis, it was listed there with Euphrates in a different language. But right in there is Mesopotamia, and That's called the Fertile Valley. So things are going on. And people that are studying the Word of God and praying and getting guidance from God and watching what's happening. Remember it says here, watch ye therefore. And I know one preacher or one group of people, they got down and focused their, they started looking all around while they're praying. They said, it didn't just pray. They prayed, said watch. So they're watching what's going on all around them. But that's not the kind of watch. He wants us to watch what's going on in the world and watch the fulfillment of the Scripture so that the signs, when they're there, we'll discern them. Israel didn't discern the time when the Messiah came into the world. And many people aren't discerning what's going on now. Praise God. But many of these signs and things are happening. So we need to realize that we're in this generation where that it won't pass away till these things be fulfilled. Now, even if we were wrong on that, then the generation would pass away. We realize that we're getting older, some of us getting older than others, and that we're not going to be here that long anyway. So we need something to look forward to more than just get old and shrivel up and go to the grave. We need hope. And the Lord have assured us that we have hope. Praise God. And so He have created us in His image and a purpose that we would have the opportunity to be saved from sin. He knew we was all in sin and come short of the glory of God. And He knew that because of Adam's sin, death come upon mankind. But He came and died to undo what Adam done. So that by one man death come, also by one man life can come. So He is promising us life. That's what we ought to want, is life.
Yes, sir.
Some people might not want life in the miserable situation they may have found themselves in. Some people are committing suicide and all of that. But we ought to want life and want it more abundantly and want it, praise God, so that it's everlasting and full of joy. And where that there'll be peace and it'll be a glorious life. And it's not so bad for most of us now, but that's like the tip of the iceberg. You still, what we see now is not even hardly can be compared to the great and wonderful things that God have in store for them that love Him. And it just seems natural to me we ought to keep on living. Dying just seems like that don't belong to us. And even if we die, it's just that it should be just a temporary sleep, looking to the resurrection. And then forever being with the Lord. Praise God. And He's given us all that assurance. And that is our faith. Now, somebody said, well, how do you know that's true? Well, we got all the Scriptures assuring us. Some of us have some experience with God and His blessings and His Holy Ghost, so it adds to the assurance. We see the Scriptures being fulfilled as the prophets had prophesied hundreds of years ago what would happen, and we see them happening. So there's considerable evidence that is true. Praise the Lord. But we know that if it wasn't turned out not to be, even the hope and expectation that we have is better than living in this world and not having any hope, not having any assurance. And sometimes people don't believe because they don't want to believe. But I want to believe. And so God has given us the capacity, the capability to believe. We can believe if we want to believe. The Bible speaks of an evil heart of unbelief. And then it speaks of a sower that's sowed in good ground and said, that interpreted is in a good heart. So whether we believe or not will depend a lot on our heart. See, sometimes people don't believe because if you believe, you have to follow up on your belief with the action that God requires of you. But if you can convince yourself that there is no God, then that leaves you free to just do everything you feel like doing. And that's what people generally want to do, is whatever they want to feel, whatever they feel like doing with no restriction. That's why children are often rebellious. And that's why one of the reasons marriages break up, because people want to do what they want to do, even if they're married or not married. Man just wants to do whatever he wants to do. He don't want no rules that don't do this and don't do that. Praise God. So they will choose not to believe so they don't have to acknowledge God and worship him and accept him. But we ought to want to believe. And I'll tell you one reason I want to believe. Well, when I'm in an automobile, I want a driver in that vehicle. I don't want the vehicle running wild with no driver. It might wreck. If I was in a train, I want an engineer there to have some control of what's going on. And if I'm in an airplane, then I sure enough want a pilot in that airplane so that we got a capable person guiding that airplane. And now, since we're on this planet Earth, and they tell us that it's moving around the sun at a tremendous speed, and we're on it riding, I want somebody to be in control. Praise God. I want there to be a God. I want God to be keeping that thing going. You see, I'm told that if this earth gets just a little bit further away from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. And that if it get a little closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And I don't like either one of those events. I'd like it to stay here like it is so we can, praise God, be on this trip. And I've been on airplanes, and I'm glad they had a pilot. When they got ready to come down, somebody could guide the landing. And so I want God to be there. And I believe he is there. And that's the confidence that I have that not only is there a God, but that the scriptures are true and that the Lord Jesus did come. Praise God, he did make himself a sacrifice for our sins. He did shed his blood. Praise God, and he did it out of the love of God so that we could have our sins washed away, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Praise God. And so then he shed his blood and he chose to die. He wanted Peter to put that sword up. Let him go ahead and take him. Let him put him on trial. Let him bring him up before Pilate. Now, after a fleshly thought, he would dread the pain that he would suffer. But he said, for this cause came I into the world. Praise God. And so he knew that he would die. And he said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. And I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up. And then when Pilate came up and they began to examine him, and he didn't answer them. They said, don't you know your life's in my hands, that I have the power to let you live or to kill you? And Jesus didn't beg. He didn't plead. He didn't try to get out of it. He didn't try to talk his way out of it. He didn't call for no defense attorney. But he said, you have no power.
Come on now.
No power over me except it's given from above. Praise God. And so then he was ready to face whatever he had to face to redeem us. Praise God. And so then he did die, and so he was buried, and he did rise from the dead on the third day. praise God, and I believe he did, was in and out among his apostles for 40 days, and that he ascended up into heavens. And somebody said, you believe all that? You believe a lot. Well, if you don't believe it, you don't believe a lot. So I'd rather believe a lot than not believe a lot. Praise God, because I'd rather believe that he suffered for us. I'd rather believe he rose from the dead. Praise God, I'd rather believe that he ascended up, because the angel said, this same Jesus that you see going up, he's coming back in like manner. Praise God, and so I still believe that he's coming back. And even though thousands of years might have went by and he didn't come, I think the time for his coming is closer now than it was, and it's closer now than it was when we first believed. So I believe that we're looking for the Lord to come back for his church. Praise God. And so God had a plan, and he's the author and finisher of this plan. And I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe, praise God, that he had a purpose to redeem a people. And I realize he could have made us robots, but he chose to give us a choice, a free moral choice. And he wants a people that will choose to be faithful to him. And therefore, he have given us that privilege. And if somebody don't believe, then they cannot believe. But those that do believe can obtain eternal life, praise God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I'm one of them that believes. The unbeliever don't have no hope. He goes through this world and all he can do is try to enjoy whatever he can for a season. Praise God. But I see some wisdom in Moses. When Moses, he was already selected out by Pharaoh's daughter, the ruler of Egypt. And so, by being a prince in Egypt, he could live a glorious type of earthly life for a season. But the key is, it was for a season. Praise God, some of us too far, too nearsighted. We need to look far away, praise God. They've got a little song about, just let me make it through the night. They don't care about tomorrow and yesterday, but just make it through the night. Well, yeah, that's all right, but what about when you wake up in the morning? Praise God, and you got to face the next day. Praise God, if you can make it through a year, but then what about when the year is up? And so, you know, we can tell about, you get up, you grow up, you go to school, and you go to college, and you graduate, and you go into your business, and then you work some years, and after a while you retire, and then you enjoy your golden years if you're still alive, and after a while, then that comes to an end. What then? Praise God. When it comes to an end, I have learned that when a thing comes to an end, it's over if it's one day or 100 years. And I often think about my mother. She passed away, praise God, and just at the age of about 33. And my dad, he lived to be 64. And he passed on. Well, now, they're both gone. He lived longer, but he's gone and she's gone. So what is the difference about whether you live a few more years or not? When it comes to an end, then your life on earth has ended. And so you're just gone and decayed if there was no hope. But the scriptures have given us hope. And we believe that through that hope, praise God, that we'll be caught up to be with the Lord. And I noticed the scriptures we just read here. It says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy. See, the Lord is going to be the one doing the judge and doing the accounting. And if he was to come tonight, all of us may think we're going, but the Lord would have the final say about that. And so if he took half of us and left the other half, we wouldn't have a case. No need to get no attorney to argue your case, because the one that's gone is gone. The one that's left here is here, no matter whether you think you ought to be here or not. And so now we need to behave in such a way to be assured that we'll be in that number that's caught away. And those that's left behind, they got to face something. And that's why the scripture says that you'd be counted worthy to escape. The rapture is an escape. But God has given the saints an opportunity to escape things that's going to come up on this world. And when you read the papers and then you read the Bible, and don't you see things coming up on this world? Aren't they threatening with many kind of danger to poison the air, to poison the water, to blow up the cities, to ruin the earth? And you see, you can see the danger that's there, whether it comes or not. And that's another reason I want to believe. Because if I believe, then I believe it's going to come out all right for the people of God. And if I don't believe, then here I am, don't know whether the earth's going to blow up, don't know what's going to happen, and don't know having no hope. Just like but Moses chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It'd be better to suffer a while and then have joy eternal, praise God, than to have a good time for a short time and then enter into eternity, praise God, and be in destruction and be whatever the future would hold for those that don't believe God. And of course, we know the scriptures tell us it's judgment and lakes of fire and all of those terrible things. But if it was nothing but just staying dead, that don't even appeal to me. I want to be alive. Praise God. I don't see no joy in being dead. Praise God. I would want to be alive and to live and to see Jesus and to be with Him and to be in His kingdom. So He said, if you suffer with me, you live with me. And you'll reign with me. Before I go on, I want to thank God for the pastor. Praise God. And a humble man dedicated to teaching. I didn't know him like you know him. I just knew him occasionally in conventions and so forth. Praise God. But the little time I had with him, he's very impressive. He's a man of patience, of love. And I do see that he suffers some sickness. Praise God. But he's been doing that very well. We don't know just why all that is, but we do know God knows.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that God will work it out the way that it should be, because all things work together, praise God, for the good of them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. So either way, you come out all right. And even if a saint of God gets killed, they come out all right, because the Apostle Paul said to it's better to go and be with the Lord. But he said he would stay here just for to help someone else. But to die is gain, and to live is Christ. So we've already crucified the flesh, so we're not walking to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but we're taking up the cross and suffering with the Lord if we keep on living through as believers in Christ. Praise the Lord. But we believe that the Lord is coming back for His church, and that He's going to take the church with Him, and we'll be in glory, and that we believe that trouble is coming up on the earth, and we believe that tribulation is coming up on the earth, and it'll be a time of trouble such as there never was since there was a nation. And so if you think it's trouble now, like they say, it's hardly nothing yet compared to the trouble it will be. Praise God. And it'll be such a time of trouble till the Bible tells us that right now people are trying to stay alive, aren't they? But it says at that time that men are desiring to die and death will flee from them. They'll be so miserable and so tormented in such a terrible situation, they just want to die. You see, one thing worse than dying that we know is worse is suffering in pain. And when you're suffering severely in pain and torment, you would rather be dead so you wouldn't feel that pain. And so doing this, these judgments and these tribulations and things that's coming, the time will come when men would want to die to get out of that situation that they find themselves in. Praise God. Now, if you want to know some of the things that's happening, many of the nations are determined to bring this nation down. They want to undermine our economy. And you might think, well now, we're so rich, we're so great, we're so powerful. Well, I don't think that the nations of the world feel that they can defeat this nation militarily. But they want to force us into an economic situation to cause us to collapse as a nation. And it's not been too many years ago the Soviet Union had the world kind of scared and shaken and worried about what they was going to do and communists going to take over the world and all of that. And so then, because of the economical situation in the Soviet Union collapsed. And all of those countries that they had conquered through communist forces, they began to peel off from them. About 15 countries left the Soviet Union, left just Russia sitting there. And they was in such a desperate situation, you know who went in there to bail them out? The United States went in there to loan them money, to bring business, to take a McDonald's or anything, to help build up their economy, to get them back on their feet. Well, our economy is collapsing slowly too. Not so slowly, it's getting faster all the time. Remember American Motors? Rambler used to make Rambler. France bought that out. And then long come Chrysler. And Chrysler got in trouble. The government bailed it out. And then it got in trouble again. And it sold out to Mercedes-Benz, a German company. And you know how some of us used to try to buy American. And you think you buy a Dodge, you got American. But now that's owned by a German company. And so many things are being owned by foreign companies, and it's so obvious. And now every year, General Motors is losing millions and millions of dollars. Ford is losing millions of dollars. That's the only two American auto companies left. And so Ford is trying so hard to turn itself around, so they got them a new executive to try to do the job for them. And somebody said that the hardest thing he'll have to do is give up his Lexus. I have a relative that's working for Ford in Cleveland, and Ford wants you to drive Fords. And so they got a lot where you can park if you're driving a Ford. But if you're driving a Lexus or some other foreign car, you had to park somewhere else and walk there. And so President Bush came on, and he said that there's 5% of the world's population in the United States. So since we're 5% of the world's population, some of you might have heard this. He said 95% of the world is potential customers. Well, but he should have said 100% is potential customers, because America is potential customers too. Because we can't hardly get Americans to buy their own products, so how do you expect the rest of the world to buy? Praise the Lord. And so we're just potential customers of our own products. Praise God. And that may sound funny, but the economy is in danger, and it's only thing about it, this nation is so rich, so powerful, so great, because it's like a high mountain. Mm-hmm. And then it's eroding, mm-hmm. and then it erodes halfway down, and it's still up there pretty high. Mm-hmm. But it's still on the way down. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And so the situation of the world is pretty grave, and our hope is not in the world. Our hope is not in the economy. It's not in the nation, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so then we ask the question, where do we go from here? We know we got here through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and through the plan of God, and through the fulfillment of the prophecies, and through the Savior that come and died and rose and sent the Holy Ghost from heaven, and praise God, having received the Spirit of God and the Word of God to guide us, we have hope, and so we are looking for the things of God and His promises to come true, because we know God is able, we know He is faithful, and we don't believe His Word will fail.
We have to trust something, so what else can we truly trust but the Word of God? It's like when Jesus told those disciples, "Will you go also?" They said, "Where will we go? You have the Word of life, and so there's no place else to go to get life." Praise God. Except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's the way is straight, and the gate is straight, the way is narrow, but there's no other way except this way, praise God, based on the Word of God. Well, somebody might say, well, they got this other religion or that other religion, but Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So the only way to get there is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, maybe I can take enough time to show you something that's been kind of on my mind that people should understand. And I see that in 1 Samuel 25 and 4, that David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get ye up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name." Now, they went up to greet him in the name of David. That didn't mean their name was David, but they mean they were representing David. David sent them up there, and therefore they went to greet him in their leader's name, which was David. And I just want to show you that sometimes you do something in somebody's name, it don't mean that it's your name. Praise God. And so now, we have, since we want to be ready to go back with the Lord, we need to know some of the requirements. Praise God. And so we not only are required to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they asked Peter what we should do. And Peter told them to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, praise God, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise God. And so then we find many other scriptures, praise God, where Apostle Paul went to the Gentiles and the Holy Ghost fell on them and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we find that Apostle Paul went to Corinth and found people that he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So then he told them about the Lord Jesus, praise God, and then they believed on him, and therefore he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, laid his hands on them, prayed for them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And so now it seemed kind of strange Jesus told the people to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he was talking to his apostles, and the apostles all went out baptizing people in the name of the Lord Jesus and told them that do everything you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. So sometimes some of our leaders have said this and put different interpretations on things, but I want you to consider, praise God, Matthew 28 and 18, 19, and 20, where did it say in verse 18, "And Jesus said, spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Well, now, if he had all power, he had all authority in heaven and in earth. Now, what he is saying here is that he's not arguing there's no Father. He's not arguing that the Father's name is Jesus, that the Holy Ghost's name is Jesus, because he came in his Father's name. But he come representing his Father just like they went representing David. And that shakes some people up, but I think we need to think about that. Why should we have to convince somebody that the Holy Ghost's name is Jesus to get them to know the way they should be baptized? Praise the Lord. And so then, since he has all this power and authority, He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, that means he has in him the power of the Father, the power of the Son, the power of the Holy Ghost. It's all in him and in his name. Praise God. Why? Because he's given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Why? Because he's the one that went to the cross and suffered all of that pain and humiliation. He's the one that shed the blood and died. And the Apostle Paul, when writing in 1 Corinthians, he said, did Paulus die for you? Was Paul crucified for you? And implying that the one who was crucified for you is the name of the one that you should be baptized in. Praise God. And so then there shouldn't have been no confusion, because we ought to have sense enough to know that if anybody know what Jesus meant, that the apostles would. But yet, some authorities had rose up in the old Roman Empire and began to teach and promote other doctrines, and so now we got all of that to deal with when we just try to get somebody to come to the Lord, to believe on the Lord Jesus, and to be baptized in the name of the one that died for them. They start arguing, you're leaving out the Father, you're leaving out the Holy Ghost, you're not leaving out nobody, because Jesus had all the power, all the authority, praise God. And even when you read in this foot washing chapter in St. John 13 and 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, all authority is given into his hand. And so then if he, whatever he was or whatever he wasn't, then he still had the power of attorney to act for all, because you couldn't come to the Father except Jesus. So if we could just understand that the Father is a spirit, it is an omnipresent spirit, a worldwide spirit, a spirit, if you go to heaven, he's there. If you go into the depths of hell, he's there. Anywhere on earth, you take the wings of an eagle, and fly away, you can't get away from him. He's there. Praise God. But he was manifest as a man in the flesh and came into the world and declared the Son of God, praise God, which is this same God manifest in the flesh. Now somebody will argue and they say, well, yeah, the Son of God was manifest in the flesh, but the Scripture said that God was manifest in the flesh. The Son of God didn't need to be manifest in the flesh. He was born in the flesh, praise God, because he was made in the womb of Virgin Mary. Praise God. And so then Jesus said, I'll manifest myself unto you and not unto the world. I said, how are you going to do that? Praise God. And he said, a comforter will come. Praise God. And I'll give you another comforter. I won't leave you a comforter. I'll manifest myself to you. So the Holy Spirit is God manifest in the church. Praise God. And so then we're still talking about the same God. And the Scripture writes to the ministers and says that God purchased a church with his own blood. And so they don't like that. They want to change it. They say the blood of his own son. And they twist it around because they can't accept, praise God. And they still right, but they still implying wrong, because they want to come up with a three-person God. And so that might not be no mystery to you, but it should let us know and understand that the right way, you see, because if we're going back with Jesus, we not got to meet his condition. You know, those folks didn't argue with the apostles. They accepted what they told them. And it wasn't made optional, but it's something that was actually required. And so when Peter commanded him to be baptized, he didn't say, well, you can if you want to, and it don't matter if you don't. But he commanded, and so they obeyed, and they got the results. So now, what if a person refused, and they are really rejecting the Word of God and not obeying the Word of God, so therefore they're disobeying the Word of God, and they're trying to invent their own way to be saved, and you can come short, you see. Praise God. So we need to be baptized right. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's the Spirit of God coming into you. And I ain't got time to argue all the details of it, but You've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. And so without the Spirit of God, you're none of His. And so then you become a child of God, and you're in the body of Christ. And now the angel said, this same Jesus, He's coming back. Praise God. And so Apostle Paul begins to write to us in Corinthians 15. He said, then what body will it come if there's no resurrection? But Paul begins to tell us that this natural body will put on a spiritual body. This corruptible body will put on incorruptible body. This mortal body will put on immortality. And amazingly, that in this late time of the ministry, after Christ had been on earth and after the apostles had been preaching, Paul begins to declare in the 51st verse, he says, of the 15th chapter, says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise God. And so he's telling us that when the Lord descends from heaven, we'll be changed if we're a saint of God, if we have repented of our sins, if we've been baptized in His name and received His Spirit and obey His Word and obey what God directs us and be led of the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. And so it said, we shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God. And so that's similar to what it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, when it says, praise God, that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and that the dead in Christ shall rise up. Praise God. You know, we need to believe the Word of God, and that gives us hope that though we sleep in Christ, we still all right. For blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, shall they arrest from their labor, and their reward will follow them. And so when the Lord descends from heaven and that trumpet sounds and the dead get up out of the grave, praise God, and get up in a new mortal body, and we the saints that are alive is changed and put on immortality, and you look around, praise God, it won't be just like the songs say, praise God, but it'll be for real. When you look around, your hands look new, and you won't have those illnesses in your body. Your head won't be hurting. You won't have no more toothache, no more back pain. Praise God, no more overweight, no more crippled legs. Praise God, all the pain is gone. All the suffering is gone. All of that being so old and humped back and crippled and wrinkled up till you wonder if you can make it back home. Praise God. It'll all be over. Praise God. And praise God, then you see your dear old mother that sleep in the Lord get up, and you see that'll bring great excitement, and you can have a family reunion of the saints of God. You might even see Bishop Getty say, praise the Lord, El Hail. Praise God, because he died in hope, I believe. And so then, praise God, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And they call it the rapture because it's such a joyous time. You know, the world has their raptures. And when the team win a football game, they go up in rapture because it's just so great a thing to them when they win a big game. Praise God. And they start celebrating and carrying on and making fires in the street, and ain't no telling what they do, because they all carried away into some kind of a rapturous situation. But none of that, all of that is for just a natural old ball game. But we have something to be happy about, for we'll see the Lord. Praise God, caught up there. And the song says, when I see Jesus, amen, all my troubles will be over. It's no more suffering. It's no more crying. It's no more dying. And it says, just one moment in God's kingdom, it'll pay for it all. Praise God, because when you see Jesus, the one that died for you, and you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see Peter and Paul, praise God, what a joy it will be. Praise God. And so the Scriptures go on to tell us, praise God, you're up there, and all of the trouble is going on down here on the earth. Tribulation coming, Antichrist is coming. Praise God, the white horse is running, the red horse is running. War comes out, peace is taken from the earth, famine comes up on the earth.
and the pale horse comes, and people are dying on the earth. And many of them that have turned to God after they see they've missed a rapture, they turn to God and they get right with God and they get dedicated to God, praise the Lord, and so then they're killed by Antichrist. And so if they don't take the mark, they're beheaded. Praise God. And so after all of that they go through, praise God, yet they're going through all of that and the saints is up there done missed it all. You want to go through the tribulation? Does anybody here want to light that train? Somebody said, I want to go in the morning train. The evening train may be too late. Praise God. Somebody said, don't preach much about that, because somebody want to wait and get saved in the tribulation. But I see in the Scripture that because they wouldn't deny the Lord and take the mark, their heads are cut off. You want to go with your head cut off or you want your head off? Praise God. It's easy to go now. It ain't no guarantee who's going to make it in the tribulation. Praise God. I like to use this analogy that if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? If you can't do the thing that's not relatively easy, how are you going to do the thing that's 10 times more harder than that? Praise God. So then, not only do we be there, but praise God, the Lord is going to come back with His saints. Praise God, because it tells us in Jude that the Lord with the 10,000s of His saints, and Zechariah said all His saints, praise God, they're coming back to reign with Christ. Praise God, and establish His kingdom on earth. And the saints will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Praise God. And John says, after that, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then he said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Praise God. The Lord has prepared a beautiful, lovely, glorious city for the people of God. He said, it don't need no sun, because the Lamb is the light thereof, and there is no night. The night is as bright as the day. Praise God. I believe that that's too good a promise for us to take any kind of chance on missing out. Praise God. We ought to be determined, praise God, to make it in that glorious place. Praise God. And so the Scriptures tell us about all the beauty that is there, and the saints of God is there, and God is there with His people, and we're His people, and He's our God. Praise God. And it's a glorious time. And we'll be heirs of all things. Praise God. And then it goes on about what happens to the rest of the world in the judgment. Praise God. But as saints of God, we ought to want to be ready to go back with the Lord, that we might inherit that eternal life. Praise God. And so, we could keep going, but I said I wouldn't be long, so I let it go.